All right, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I'm going to preach an old-fashioned message, evangelistic style preaching, amen. And I'm not ashamed of it. Thank the Lord for the Bible, amen. It's good to be here this morning. I've enjoyed the service. Ain't it good to be in a good church, amen, church? If you don't have a good one to go to, you just found it, amen. I'm looking for these. Hallelujah. I got a neighbor over here, Stan Lord, sitting behind me. He's my neighbor. Y'all make him feel welcome. Amen. After service. And I appreciate him coming. I mean, he's been hanging out with me while I'm building a house, and he's still come to hear me preach. Now, ain't that amazing? That's amazing right there. Amen. So, all right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians 13. I want you to, it's an old-fashioned examination. And the Bible said down there in verse 1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Watch what verse 5 says. Examine yourselves. That's individually, amen? That's not talking about your neighbor. I ain't talking about the person you're sitting by or somebody down the street. He said, examine yourselves. Watch what it says. Whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, for the great service we've had thus far. Well, we can leave right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, for a little while, help me, I pray, to preach this Bible the way you want it preached. Say exactly what you want said. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning lost on their way to a devil's hell, God, I pray that today would be the day that they'd receive Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for you and all you've done for us. Holy Ghost, we're asking for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says down there, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. No, you're not your own selves. You know, I think about that right there, and you talk to people, and they'll say, well, my mama told me I was saved. Well, my daddy told me I was all right. But the Bible says, prove your own selves. No, you're not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you. Except you be reprobates. You know, it's amazing. You can go visiting today. You can go to the stores. You can maybe be out in the neighborhoods or wherever it may be. And you can be out knocking on doors. And you can ask people, say, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And most people, especially down south, will say, oh, yeah, I'm saved. But they don't live for God. They don't look like a Christian. They don't talk and act like a Christian. The Bible said in 1 John 2, 4, it said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth's not in him. I didn't say it. God said that. The Bible said that. Look over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Turn over there. I think one of the most sobering verses in your Bible. We're going to read a lot of Scripture this morning. And then I'm going to say a little bit about Luke 16. But look at Matthew chapter number 7. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 19. The Bible says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Watch what it says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then, here's what Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Can you imagine that, dear friend? There are, just because you call him Lord does not mean that you're going to heaven. I mean, there's a slew of people according to the Bible. He said, many will say to me in that day. So in other words, friend, there are people out there that one of these days they're going to stand before the God of heaven and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not preach? Did we not give? Did we not do all these many mighty wonderful works? Lord, we cast devils out in your name. We did that for you, Lord. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Can I say to you, dear friend, the Bible said over there in Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In other words, friend, why do you call Him your Lord, but yet you're not even saved? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He said, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Colossians 3:1, the Bible said, if... He's got a question mark there on your salvation. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you're saved, seek those things which are above. That's godly things. Amen. That's talking about godly things. Christianity. He said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And I say to you, dear friend, the world today is seeking a good time. The world today is seeking sin and ungodliness and filth and envy and bitterness and lust and adultery and all kinds of ungodliness. And then they'll look at you and say, oh yes, I'm saved. The Bible says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And can I say to you, dear friend, that that's the day today. Today we live in a day where many people today will talk about how they're saved, they're on their way to heaven. I mean, there's churches after churches. You can go all over the place, friend. You got your mega churches, you got small churches. And there's people today that are going through the motions. And some even sitting here this morning going through the motions. And you know that if you died, you'd go to hell. The Bible said that the imaginations and the thoughts of their heart are evil continually. It's in our homes, from the wickedness on the television, the books that they read, the magazines they look at, the internet that's running through their house, and all the garbage that they do in their darkness of their bedroom or in their office. It's at the schools with the filthy talk and the filthy dress and the ungodly things that young people are going through and doing and being involved in. It's at the jobs with all the ungodly jokes and the filthy ungodliness that takes place there. And the Bible said that their imaginations and their thoughts of their heart are evil continually. And here's why. They need Christ. They're lost on their way to a devil's hell. You say to your dear friend, when God saved my soul, man, He changed me. The Bible said over there in John 10:9, He said, I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find a pasture. Let me hear me now, dear friend. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way. There is no other door. God gave us an example in the Bible over there whenever He built that ark. Amen. When He had Noah build the ark, most people know that story. You know what God did? He told Noah, He said, put a door in that ark. But I say to you, dear friend, He didn't put two or three doors or five doors. He put one door in that ark. There is one way to get in that ark, which is a type of salvation. You understand? And you know, another thing, He never told Noah how big to make the door, never told him how wide to make the door, never told him how long to make the door. There's no measurements. But all the animals went through the same door, no matter what size they are. And can I say to you, friend, the same door that the good person goes to heaven in is the same door that the bad person goes to heaven in. The same door that the church goer goes to heaven in is the same door that the drunk goes to heaven in. The same door that that good, clean girl at the house of God goes to heaven in is the same door that the streetwalker goes to heaven in. It doesn't matter who you are, but you've got to go through Him. He's the only door. He said, I am the door. I am the way. You know what Thomas saith unto the Lord? He said, Lord, how can we know the way? Here's what Jesus said. He said, Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what He was telling Thomas? He said, hey, Thomas, you're looking at Him. You want to know how you're going to get to heaven? Here He is right here, Thomas. And a light come on, friend, and he realized that he was looking at the Savior. And I say to you, dear friend, no matter what you've done or what you're doing or what you're involved in right now, there's a God in heaven that'll save your soul. There are people today that are trying to get to heaven. Are you hearing me? They think their works are going to get them to heaven. Their baptism's going to get them to heaven. They're trusting in a prayer that they prayed, or they sang in the choir, or they taught a class, or maybe even they preached. They picked up people and brought them to church. Maybe they've been good. They've been trying to be good all their life. They go to church on a regular basis. They've given tithe. They think they've been prayed through. Or maybe some think sprinkling's going to get them there. Or the sacraments that they're trying to keep at some other church is going to get them there. They've given to the poor. Listen to the Bible. He said in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves." Did you hear that phrase? "And that not of yourselves." It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in other words, that means that I can't boast. A preacher can't boast. We can't say, "Hey, we've been preaching this long, or we've been in church this long. I've gave this much to the church. I've told this many people about the Lord." We can do all that. Can I say to you, friend, it does not mean we're going to get to heaven. I remember whenever I was younger, I was raised in church, but I didn't live like it. And I remember I went to high school over there at Woodham High School, and the church was having this big youth thing, big games and everything, and Mom and Dad wanted me to be there, so I was there, and they had this big games and all these things taking place, and big tug of wars over mud pits. You know, I said, we're going to win that. Because I'm going to go get all them rednecks that I hang out with that don't care nothing about God. We're going to win that game, amen. And so what did I do? I went to high school and I started going after them friends of mine. I said, "Hey, I need y'all to help me." And I started inviting all them friends, you know, because I wanted to win a game. And I mean, I ain't kidding. We pulled up with 3 or 4 trucks full of rednecks. It was awesome. And the other team, you could watch them, preacher, they just sunk. They just deflated. And we won the game that night. We pulled them in the mud, amen? But I'll say this, that wasn't the best thing. Some of them friends of mine got saved. I was lost. And I got some friends that come to the church, and they got saved. Let me say, just because you might tell somebody about Jesus, or get somebody to come to church and they get saved, that don't mean you're saved. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. I was raised over there in Fundamental Baptist Church on Kelly Avenue, Massachusetts. Heard the preaching Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, like some of you. Wednesday night, went to the revival meetings, amen. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Went to the missions conferences. I was in the youth departments. I went to the camps. I did all the things that you were supposed to do as a church-going kid and all that stuff. But I was lost and on my way to hell, friend. I grew up in a Christian home, went to church, rode in the youth department. I rode on a bus route, helped out on a bus route. I mean, I even went visiting, lost and on my way to a devil's hell. And at the age of 19, I heard an old-fashioned preacher, my uncle, preach an old-fashioned message. And the Holy Ghost of God dealt with my soul, showed me I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell. And God saved my soul at the age of 19. So I know very well that you could sit in this church and be lost and on your way to a devil's hell. Matthew 25. Turn over there. Let's look at that. Matthew 25 this morning. Look at verse number 1. Message is a little scatterbrained, but that's all right. I'll try to get you the message. Look at verse number 1. "But then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Watch what it says. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." That's sad. And it says, "At midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us." Does this sound familiar? That's what it says. "But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We got 10 virgins here in the Bible. And if I can apply this morning in application to those that 5 of these had the oil and 5 of them didn't, may I say to you that I believe we got, let's say, 5 are saved and 5 are lost. And the lamp is useless without the oil. And that lamp doesn't give any light without the oil. You understand? And a soul is useless without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is a type of the oil. And the Bible said over there in verse number 6 that there was a cry made. And the ones that heard the cry was the ones that had the oil. And the ones that did not hear the cry was the ones that did not hear have the oil. And may I say to you, dear friend, there's going to be a cry made one day. There's a God in heaven, friend, with the voice of the sound of a trumpet. He's going to call out, all those that are saved, we're out of here. We're going to heaven. But the ones that are not, that do not have the oil, that are not saved, they will be left behind, friends. And I say to you, do you know that you know that you're saved? You know, the lost did a good job at following the saved. They were clean. Five virgins had it, five didn't. 10 virgins, all of them clean, all of them hanging out together. That five that didn't have it sure looked good. But when the cry was made, sheep were separated from the goats. And you might be in church this morning, you may hang around Christians, you might look like one, you might talk like one, but I'm not. That doesn't mean you are one, and I'm not one of these guys that try to make everybody doubt, but I do want you to examine yourself this morning. John 6:37 said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He said over there in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath me quickened," that means saved, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, have you ever raised up from that old sinful dead life? Do you have a new life for the Lord? May I say to you, dear friend, no conviction, no conversion. Are you one of those that still enjoy that old sinful life? Listen, if there's never been no conviction in your heart and life that you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell, then there's never been no conversion in your heart. And if you can live your life today in sin and be involved in all the ungodliness of the world, and there's no conviction in your heart, and the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, then you are lost. 2 Corinthians 5:13, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." 2 Corinthians 13:5, again, our text this morning. He said, "Examine yourselves." I ask you a question, church. Are you saved? "Well, I go to Victory Baptist Church, Brother Jason." I understand. Doesn't mean you're saved. I'll talk to people and say, "If you're not dead, for sure you're going to heaven." "Oh, I go to St. Michael's. Or I go to St. Mary's. Or I go to the Baptist church down the road. Or I go to the Methodist church, or I go to the Lutheran church, or I go to the Pentecostal church." I didn't ask you that question. I asked you, are you saved? It don't matter what church you go to in the area of salvation. It doesn't matter what church you go to in the area of doctrine and growth. But it doesn't matter as far as salvation. That ain't going to get you to heaven, amen? And I say to you, dear friend, where there's no change, there's no conversion. You say, "Well, I've always gone to church." That don't mean you're saved. First of all, you must repent. I know it's a bad word in most places, but it ain't here. The Bible said, "I tell you nay." He said, Luke 13:3. He said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repent of what? You're a sinner. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And you can't pay for your sins. Only Jesus can. That's why the Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Not only do you got to repent, you got to believe. The Bible said over there that if any man, he said that if thou shalt believe with all thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said in Romans 10, verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And I say to you, dear friend, according to the Word of God, you repent toward God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to confess it with your mouth. You don't just appear saved one day. You didn't just wake up one day and say, "Well, I feel like I'm saved today." It didn't work like that. "Oh, I saw a light." No, it don't work like that. No, there's a Holy Ghost of God. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Ghost. And He convicts you. And He shows you you're lost. And at that moment in time, friend, you're going to either do one of two things. You're either going to reject that conviction and say no to Him, or you're going to repent of that sins and say yes to Jesus. And the Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You got to call on Him. Thief on the cross, you know what he did? He acknowledged his sin. He believed on Lord Jesus Christ, and he asked. And you know what the devil says? "You got plenty of time. Don't listen to that preacher. But you could die today. Or maybe the rapture would take place. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let me read you some verses. The Bible said in Matthew 13:43-42, "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13:50, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 22:13, "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him in outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 24:51, "And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Turn over to Luke chapter 16 this morning. If I can, just for a little bit, I want to give you just several quick points on the realities of hell. Kind of a two-part message. We're getting into the second part. Look at Luke 16. A lot of people don't want to think about this. They don't want to talk about it. And I'll be honest with you, it's not my favorite message to preach. But it must be preached. "There was a certain," verse 19, "there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." Sounds like America, doesn't it? "There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Look what it says about the rich man. "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments," plural, "and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." I say to you this morning, friend, examine yourself. Not to be a mean preacher or a hard preacher, but can I say to you with all my heart, examine yourself. You don't want to go to this place. Doesn't matter who you are. The Bible said over there, friend, in Matthew 25:30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Luke 1:13, 27 and 28, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Dear friend, if God does not know you, and Jesus says, "I never knew you," and he says, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him in outer darkness," you're going to this place called hell, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know this ain't a popular message, friend, but can I say to you about hell, you'll be able to see and feel and smell and hear. In other words, you'll have your senses in hell. We see in verse 23, he could see, though it was dark. He could see the glories of heaven and wish he was there. Verse 24, he could feel the pain and the agony. He could hear the wailing as he cried out. And I say to you, friend, there will be crying in hell. And you'll cry because you can see heaven and wish you were there. You can feel the fire as it burns, but it never stops. You'll want mercy, but there is no mercy. You'll pray, but your prayers will not be heard. And I say to you, friend, hell's an awful place, and I beg you, do not go. Let me say to you about hell, there'll be no relief in hell, no refreshments in hell. The rich man in verse 24, what did he say? He said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue." I mean, he just wanted a little bit of water, friend, on his tongue. I don't know how awful it is there. I can't explain to you the awfulness about hell. But I can say to you, friend, I know how hot it gets here. And boy, I tell you what, out there working on that house and in 90 plus degrees and heat index 100 and some degrees, and boy, you get wore out and you get tired and you just can't get enough to drink. But it sure is good to be able to get that big glass of tea or that Gatorade or that water. But in hell, there is none. And that's a poor illustration of how awful it is in hell. Right now in hell, if you can hear them, friend, they're moaning and groaning and screaming and crying and agonizing. And the Bible says, gnashing their teeth and wailing and crying out, "I want a drink. Oh God, help. Oh God," and there is none. For you that like to drink, the Bible said in Joel 1:5, "Awake ye drunkards and weep and howl, all you drinkers of wine." Hell's an awful place. The Bible said over there in Mark chapter 8, "What shall it profit a man?" Are you hearing me? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, let me say it this way. What will you go to hell for? A girl, a boy, a friend, a job, money, a party, a good time, popularity, possessions? I ain't going to hell for nobody. Amen. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world? If you become the richest man or woman in the world, you have anything you want to have, buy anything you want to buy, only to die and go to hell. What good is that? Let me say to you about hell. God won't be there. Right now, we sense the presence of God here. The Holy Ghost of God is in this world. He's here, friend, in this place. And I say to you, if He wasn't here, this place would be unbelievably wicked. You wouldn't even be able to live here. There'd be so much death and killing, and that day is coming. But I say to you, dear friend, God's not going to be there. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I say to you, friend, God the Creator is the greatest presentation for whosoever is the greatest prospect. Believeth in Him is the greatest plan. Should not perish is the greatest promise. Have everlasting life is the greatest possession. And I say you are the greatest prospect. Accept or receive the greatest plan. Believe in His promise and possess the greatest thing, which is Jesus Christ. Hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. The Bible said over there in Matthew 25:41, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But it also says this, that hell hath enlarged itself, and the reason it's enlarged itself is because so many are going. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 said this, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Did you hear that phrase? From the presence of the Lord. Right now, you can call on God. God will hear you. You can call on God and get saved. If you're saved, you can call on God and get help. But if you die and go to the devil's hell, you can call on God all you want. There'll be no comfort. There'll be no God. Nobody will even think about you forever. Takes us to the next point. Hell is a never-ending torment. It is everlasting. It is forever. I can't understand that thinking, preacher. I don't know how to contemplate everlasting. Mark 9:44, 46, and 48 said this, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. That's not a hot substance. If the Bible says it's fire, that's what it is. It's fire. I don't like it, but that's what God did. And there's nothing that can put hell out. And the Bible said in Proverbs 30, verse number 16, it said, the fire that saith not, it is enough. Now see, friend, the Bible said in Isaiah, it said, the worm is under thee and over thee. He said about hell in Job 24:20, it said, the worm shall feed sweetly on him. Job 25:6, man that is a worm. And I understand, friends, some preachers will preach that in hell will be, maybe the worms or the maggots will be in hell with you in the ears and eyes, nose, mouth, hair and eyes. I don't understand all that. I don't know. But the Bible does say, friend, that the worm shall, and that man that is a worm, and the worm is under thee and over thee. I picture it this way. Can you imagine, dear friend, those that are in hell? You ever seen a ball of worms? And that's the way it is in hell, friend. There's just people everywhere, and they're moaning, and they're screaming, and they're crying out as they're bunched up, crawling all over one another. Get off of me, and screaming and crying. And I say to you, it's a place of consciousness, a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place of eternal separation. It's a place of no hope of relief. It's a place of torment of the remembering. You remember those that asked you to get saved. You remember the messages that you heard where you could have got saved. You remember the songs during the invitation to church. You remember the opportunity you had to get saved. And it'll last forever and forever and forever. No love, no happiness, no friends. They'll hate you in hell. There's no parties in hell. Due to the fire, the party's been canceled. And I say to you, dear friend, hell is an awful place. And you'll be there forever if you say no to Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people, but I am trying to keep you out of hell. Just because you go to a good church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. I'll give you two more things. Let me say, there's no peace in hell. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21 said, but the wicked are like a troubled sea, or like troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You know that trouble, that sea out there, that ocean, we can go out there to the Gulf, and you know when that storm's rolling out there, it's boisterous, it's loud, it's frightful, and there's no peace. That's the way hell is. Screaming, burning, gnashing, fighting, hating. Can I say to you Christians, y'all listen to me, those of you that are saved, here's a little phrase for us, a little verse, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ain't it good to know you're saved? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that I ain't got to die and go to a devil's hell. There's a God in heaven, friend, that convicted me and drew me and saved my soul, and I'm on my way to that place called heaven. Hallelujah. For those of you that are lost, God help you. There's no rest in hell. The Bible said in Revelation 14, 1, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. I don't know how to explain that to you. I don't know how to preach that. But forever and forever and forever, no breaks, no mercy, no rest. And you're going to go there if you don't get saved. And your family will go there if they don't get saved. And your friends will go there if they don't get saved. And your neighbors, every individual friend without Jesus Christ is going to go to that place called hell if they don't get saved. Miss Hannah, you can come. Let me give you two more quick points. The devils are going to be there. The Bible said over there in Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them, he said, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In other words, the devil. Are you listening to me, friend? He said you got plenty of time. He told you there's no fire in hell. He said hell was just death. He said hell that no longer existed. And he deceived you and he lied to you. He's the one that's tried to ruin your life and your family. He's the one that painted you a good picture and you fell for it. He didn't show you the backside of that painting though, did he? He made you think that all the drinking and the immorality and the drugs and the ungodliness and the filth and the sin, the pornography and the wickedness of the world. He made you think it was fun and a good time. And he said, don't go to church. He said, don't live like one of them holy rollers. He said, church is phony. He said, serving God is a bore. Now, you find out you're in hell. He was a liar. One of these days, you'll be face to face with the devil himself. The one that put you there. The devil will be in the lake of fire one day. And if you don't get saved, you'll be right there with him. As he mocks you and scorns and mocks you for eternity. The wicked will be there. The Bible said the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I say to you, dear friend, that doesn't sound like the kind of place that I want to go to. I don't mind being around them people and telling them about Jesus, but sure don't want to live with them. Turn one more time, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, look at these few verses and I'm done. Revelation 20, verse 13 through 15. Here's what the Bible says. Sobering verses. Let's just look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This has not happened yet, church. This is going to happen. He says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Watch what it says. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That has not happened. But it's going to happen. Picture it. Everybody that ever died in the sea, on land, they're in hell, wherever they're at, they're all coming out. God's going to burn this place up. Boom, gone, with a bang. Didn't start with a bang, it's going to end with a bang. And there'll be nothing for them to stand on. And they will stand before God one by one. They'll fall on their face and acknowledge Him as Jesus Christ and Lord. Is their name in the book? No, their name's not in the book. And they will begin to beg God for mercy. And God will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You picture the rich man. He's been in hell for 2,000 plus years. And it's his turn to stand before God. He never got saved. Never trusted Him. Didn't care anything about God. But he's been in hell. And he's going to come before God and say, oh God, surely I paid for my sins. Surely everything's all right. Would you please let me go to heaven? Please. And God's going to say, is his name in the book? No, it's not. Bind him hand and foot. He's going to try to run. There is nowhere to run. As the angels grab him, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. And everybody that knows that man that's in heaven, wiped away. You won't even be thought about. I wouldn't take a chance. I wouldn't sit there with a pious attitude. You die and go to a devil's hell. You'll wish to God you'd listened. Now I want you to go back to your heart and mind, the place where you got saved. Take your little trip in your heart and mind. I'm about done, but just stay with me. I can go to a little place. I went and visited my uncle up there in Washoe, Michigan. And I can go to that spot, Gilead Baptist Church. Preacher, I was up there visiting him after I graduated from high school. And I went up there and I heard my uncle preach for several weeks in a row. And I remember sitting about the second row from the back. I was on this side of the church, about the second row from the back. The Holy Ghost of God came to my heart. Brother Nathan, He showed me I was lost on my way to a devil's hell. God spoke to my heart and said, you get saved, boy. I said, Lord, I've been in church all my life. Went to Fundamental Baptist Church. I got saved when I was a kid. You know what? I didn't get saved when I was a kid. Preacher, my brother, he was older than my older brother, went forward to get saved. I asked my mom, I said, where's Bubba going? And she said, he's going to get saved. I said, well, I want to go get saved with Bubba. And I went forward as a little kid, and one of them deacons or somebody, altar worker, showed me how to get saved. I went up there and got baptized just like my brother did. There wasn't no conviction. There wasn't none of that in my heart and life. I just did it because somebody else did it. But at the age of 19, sitting back there toward the back of that church, the Holy Ghost of God came to my heart and said, you're lost, boy. You're on your way to a devil's hell. I tried to start telling him all the things that I'd done and all the, prayed this prayer and got baptized. And he started showing me all the sin that was in my life and how I'd lived like a demon, an ungodly individual, and just not living right. And God, you say, what'd you do? I agreed with God. I said, God, I repent. I'm a sinner on my way to a devil's hell. I came forward. My uncle took that Bible. He showed me how to get saved. Amen. And God changed my life. I wouldn't be here today. I'd probably be living like a redneck in Milton or Pace or Pensacola. I've been divorced probably by now 2 or 3 times, if not in jail or dead. Here I stand at Victory Baptist Church preaching because the Holy Ghost of God convicted me at 19, showed me I was lost on my way to a devil's hell. Let me ask you a question. Where'd you get saved at? He said, Brother Jason, you've been pretty rough on us this morning. Where'd you get saved? Go to the spot right now in your heart and mind, right now, where the Holy Ghost of God convicted you, showed you you was lost, you repented of your sins, asked Him to come in your heart, Savior, whether it was at an altar, whether it was in your car, whether it was at your house, or maybe somebody else's house, a preacher came by, a missionary, I don't know. But God dealt with you and showed you you was lost. and you got saved. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if I can do that. I can't go to that place." And you're lost. You better make this the place. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Examine yourself. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a few moments. The preacher's fixing to come, but I want to ask a question. I'm going to ask the old-fashioned question that they asked many times when I was a kid. Is there anyone here today, this morning, that if you die, you don't know for sure you're saved? I want you to take a moment, think about it. I'm not here to embarrass you. I wouldn't dare do that. I wouldn't call you out if I knew your name. I wouldn't point you out in public. But I want you right now to ask yourself the question, examine yourself, am I saved? If I died today, do I know for sure I'd go to heaven? Is there anyone here this morning that you would quietly lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died I'd go to heaven, and I'm concerned about my soul."